What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Rochester,
yeah,
is a community full of talent, Tommy.
Oh, my God.
In fact, one local man is on a short list for one of the world's most famous awards.
Really?
And it's for something that dominated pop culture the last 12 months. If he wins, he wants to be prepared. But in preparing himself, he could be setting himself up for even greater disappointment.
How?
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
John Ryan is a Pittsburgh native.
Okay.
And John writes music.
Oh.
He's very good at it.
He's a writer.
In fact, he is responsible for one of the biggest albums of the year.
So he wrote the music?
37-year-old John co-wrote the album Short and Sweet, which was the breakout record from pop star Sabrina Carpenter.
Damn.
Yeah. He wrote 7 of the songs, including the song Bedchem, which is like her big hit right now.
Okay. So he's rich.
He also produced the entire album.
Wait.
Damn. Is he
in L.A.?
Yes, he's in L.A. Right. No, he does this out of his basement.
Well, I don't know. You could now. That's not the craziest question.
Hey, Sabrina, you want to come over and do the songs in Pittsburgh?
Didn't that Billie English and her brother do it right out of their apartment?
Billie English. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then her cousin, Frankie French, you idiot. Are you talking about Billie Eilish, you idiot?
Wait, there's 2 people that did this?
So the album that he co-wrote and produced debuted at #1 in August. It has achieved platinum status. And
this guy's a rich man.
And because of that, what are you doing, Fiddler on the Roof now? You should write that.
Give me this, you know what you're talking about.
Everyone knows.
Dresses like most of the characters.
Okay, look.
What?
It's a platinum album. It has been massive for the last year.
Yeah.
And because of that, Pittsburgh's own John Ryan has been nominated for a Grammy.
Oh.
If this album wins Grammy of the Year,
he'll be on stage.
Yes, which it's up for. There's a pretty good chance he's on stage with Sabrina Carpenter to accept the award.
Wow.
Very impressive.
Yeah.
So, the Democrat Chronicle caught up with Ryan to ask him about what he would say on stage should he win.
Okay.
And I would like to read you. Right. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Usually those guys don't get to talk, though, do they?
Oh, no. Yeah, they get an opportunity. He produced the album. Yeah. He wrote the album. Co-wrote the album.
All right. Well, you thank your family and your God and get the hell off.
So you thank your God and get the hell out of here. So here's a quote in the DNC from John when asked about what he would say on stage should he win. Quote, I was in the shower the other day, and I was thinking maybe I should have a little something in my back pocket to make sure I don't forget somebody important.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, a little speech to have, right?
Right.
Now, here's the thing. John, obviously, is no slouch. Not only has he produced this platinum album, he's already worked with Harry Styles from One Direction.
That's a big one.
Maroon 5.
Oh, this guy's a big shot.
Maren Morris, amongst others.
Maren Morris?
You know the song. The house don't fall when the bones are good. That's the one, right?
Maybe.
When the bones are good, the house don't matter. When the house comes down, the bones get going. Going out of bones in a house over here. Bones don't fall when the house gets locked.
I've never heard this song.
You've heard the bones song.
You've probably heard it.
Bones go down. House gets fire. What I'm saying is.
Do you remember?
So he's been around the track a few times.
He has.
Well, I mean, yeah, and he's worked with some really big names. Yeah.
So look, his career's already impressive. But like, Tommy.
So what is he going to say?
A Grammy is a top industry award.
Yeah.
You live forever if you win a Grammy. Are you jinxing yourself preparing a speech for a potential Album of the Year Grammy win?
I always wonder that.
I don't think so. I mean, you have to have something in your pocket, and it's just basically, it's a list of names.
Yeah.
I would worry, my fear would be I put so much thought into, you know, even if it's just bullet points, that you start to psych yourself up. Like, you start to think you're starting to picture yourself up there giving this speech.
But that's natural.
Yeah,
once you're at the
but
game.
Then it's more disappointing if you don't win.
She's 100% right.
Yeah, but you also don't want to go
up
there
planned
look like
out in
dunce.
My head.
So you're saying being prepared is
a little. I mean, you don't have to listen. You're not the star of the show. Like, people are going to be looking at her. They don't even care about you.
But everyone that knows you.
But that's a small percentage of people watching that show are going to care.
But that makes it more important, right? And like this, I am now on the big stage, which I never, most of those people that are all, you know, in the background making it happen, they never get that recognition.
Like if you talk about this guy, John, again, we're talking about John Ryan. He is a Pittsburgh native. He wrote and produced Sabrina Carpenter's most recent album, Short and Sweet. It debuted at number one in August. It's platinum. He has been nominated for a Grammy, not only Album of the Year, but some kind of like engineering production Grammy as well. And in the DNC, they did an interview with him. He said he's thinking about should he have like names prepared to thank if he gets up on stage and wins that Grammy. I'm with Kimmy on this. Like if you go in unprepared, thinking I'm not going to win, it's just a fun night no matter what happens. You're at the Grammys, you're rubbing elbows with all these superstars. Right, yeah, parties, all that stuff. The second you start to prepare that speech, in your head, you've already won.
Yep.
And if you start imagining yourself winning a Grammy and you don't win a Grammy, the night is ruined. It's ruined. You cannot sit there and be like, oh, what are you going to do? Because you already had that fantasy in your head. It's the same thing we did as Bills fans when they went to the AFC Championship a couple of years ago.
You're already one step ahead.
We made the mistake of picturing Josh holding the AFC Championship trophy over his head, and it was devastating.
All right.
I just find it funny.
I would just think in your head you have a short list of people because you only got a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You can't sit up there and wait for the – because if you go up there and they cue the music, you're sunk.
But here's the thing. A guy like this, like with all due respect to John Ryan, like you said, like nobody knows who this guy is. I'm just staying. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
Throw me in Grammy, make the most out of it.
Like as soon as they – as soon as she's done
– use that time until they pull you off, right?
I guess, but what's the point?
You got to say what you wanted to say. You got your. I don't know. I just make the most out of that moment because
he's probably
doesn't happen that much.
I mean, he's a guy that writes and produces.
No,
he's not a performer.
He went to McQuaid, so yes, he actually is a performer. He went out to L.A. with some band. I mean, he went to Berklee also.
Oh wow!
The School of Music, which is one of the best music schools in America. So he's been in bands before, nothing that had a hit.
You know.
But I'm saying, no, the guy's a performer. The guy knows he plays multiple instruments. In fact,
but that's not what got him to this dance.
He also played on this album.
Oh, he does?
There's multiple instruments that he played on this album. That's I mean, the guy sounds like a jack of all trades.
Yeah.
Right? Very impressive. Very talented guy. Let me ask you this question. Because you brought it up, right? He's not, in your opinion, a performer.
Right. I mean, she's the star of the show.
Yeah. Would you rather be the big star or the person who works with all the big stars?
Who gets all the money?
He probably is making a fortune off
of this. But who gets all the money?
Well, probably the stars for many reasons.
I mean, most people get in that industry. You want to be in the front.
Okay, but here's the thing. No, I get.
But you're getting that taste of the fame without like having to deal with a lot of the things that those celebrities deal with, right? Like you can go out to dinner and not have people bothering you because nobody knows who the hell you are.
She hit it.
Okay.
I mean, like, I get, like, getting into show business.
And you're still running in those circles.
Like, thinking that would be the coolest thing in the world, everyone knowing who you are. But she's right. Like, Sabrina Carpenter, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, they can't be human beings. They can't go to the mall. They can't go have coffee with their friends. This guy is making a bunch of money.
Or he's invisible.
You know all those people. All those people want to work with you.
Yes.
And you get the freedom of doing whatever you want.
But it has to be something about watching that other person in front of 20, 30,000 people getting all those accolades, and you're just there.
You are part of it. I don't know.
That has to be a little bit frustrating.
Okay, but the counterpoint to that would be there is a limited clock on the life of a pop star.
Oh, sure.
Right? I mean,
especially for a female pop star.
Yes, if you get 5 years out of it, that is an epically long run in most cases. This guy's 30.
Call it the NFL, baby.
This guy's 37 years old. He would not be a pop star at 37 years old. He could do this until he's in his 70s and be behind the scenes. So he also has the potential for much longer earning than someone, unfortunately, like Sabrina Carpenter or, I mean, maybe Taylor Swift's a bad example because she's such a monster. But you get what I'm saying, right? You're Billie Eilish's.
Yeah.
You know what I'm really jealous of with this guy?
What?
Because, like, it's cool he gets to work with all these people. I wish I had that kind of musical talent, obviously, right? Like, he's living the life. He also has the ability, I'm assuming, to pick up his phone and call Adam Levine of Maroon 5.
He can name drop. I can't imagine who's in his phone right now.
That's what. But I'm saying, I could be at my family's house and be like, "You want to talk to Sabrina Carpenter? Sabrina, talk to my mom." And they're gonna be like, "Oh, hi, I'm Sabrina." Yeah. Like, there is no more power play than being able to just call a world famous celebrity at any moment and be like, "Talk to this person."
Okay, yeah, that'd be pretty cool,
right? All right, let me ask you a question: Is that guy a dick or is that guy cool?
Oh, you're a dick. But it's also cool.
So you wouldn't take the phone from him and talk to Adam Levine or Sabrina Carpenter? Or Sabrina Levina?
How about the Eilish?
Billy English?
The Eilish
and Johnny Spain? You idiot.
But, you know, we've also met guys that were talent agents, which is kind of along the same thing. You
yeah,
know,
yeah.
And, you know, and they were huge dicks.
No. Agents are not. This guy has a talent. Agents are just
different.
But
I mean, like, business.
But those agents always love to name drop and pull that move. Like, you know, I could call.
But you're in the business of name dropping, right? Yeah, like, you aren't anybody unless you have those people in your phone.
But they're also kind of annoying.
No, but this guy. Okay.
I guess I'd have to meet him to know better, right? You know what I mean?
Well, you're talking about a 37-year-old guy who grew up in Pittsburgh that works in the music industry? That guy probably sounds really cool and down to earth. Sorry, my bias is showing. I take that back. I don't want to be mean.
I was going to say, he must have started early, too, because if he was working with Maroon 5.
But you
said
he went out west with a band, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
And he's only 37.
So he went to Berkeley. Well, think about it, right? Like, I mean,
so he's college out there. Yeah,
yeah, he's my age. So he could have been doing this for 10, 15 years.
Since high school, yeah.
So here's the weirdest part of the story. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Because I had said up front, Rochester is a community full of talent, and you gave me one of those... Talking about John Ryan, 37-year-old Pittsburgh native. He co-wrote and produced Short and Sweet, the number one album from Sabrina Carpenter that has taken over the world. He is nominated for 2 Grammys, and he did an interview in the DNC talking about maybe preparing some names. John graduated from McQuaid in, I believe, 2006, 2007?
Okay.
2007, he'd be my age.
Okay.
So a few years before that.
Okay. Well, anyway, whatever year he graduated, he was in the same class as Teddy Geiger. You remember that name?
Oh yeah.
Musician. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a TV show for a little while.
And a hit, and it was in a movie.
Yeah.
Yep.
Teddy Geiger, with the number one hit, was in the same class at the same school as this guy that produced and wrote Sabrina Carpenter's album.
That.
So there are a bunch of folks who graduated from McQuaid in whatever it was, 2005, that went to school with both of them.
So McQuaid's put out some pretty powerful people.
Yeah, these two. That's about it. Who else?
Probably other people.
Dan Mason. Oh, wow. GM of the baseball team.
That's a big job.
Who else? You can't name another person.
My boy.
Well, we didn't know about this guy
you
until
make fun
this...
of all the time.
What's that?
I was going to say, we didn't know about this guy until this story.
And
right?
That's just like, it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what pisses me off
about
a guy like you.
What do I do?
Whenever I make the statement that Rochester is a community full of talent, you do the...
Because I think every town has talent. Like, I don't think we're more unique than any other. If you took any city of this size investigated who had, like, deep talent or had, like, you know, Grammys you never heard of or Tony Awards or any of this stuff, I think every community's got it.
No, but that's just it. These are the people we know about, so there are still people below
Bro, there's an underground of talent we haven't even tapped.
That's literally what you just said, you idiot.
But every town has that.
No.
I think
Eastman School of Music draws a lot of it. I mean, I just think that we are a little bit more unique in terms of having this much music talent in a city of our size.
And think about the start.
It's not maybe music that... You know, the most popular music that people are involved in, which I guess obviously they are. But I think that there are a lot of talented musicians that come through Rochester, at least.
Not every community has a music store and record store that draws touring musicians to stop and shop
here.
Yes,
it does.
Not every community has bands like Metallica. From everyone from Metallica to James Taylor and everyone in between coming here to record albums that become massive, which happens here.
Yeah, but there's other places where they do record.
Yeah, L.A., New York, Atlanta, Hollywood. Dip, 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 dip.
What about the Sunset Strip?
Dip. Sorry. I got too excited to do Huey Lewis in the news. I'll go back and do the Bones song again if you want me to.
No, please.
Oh, Bones don't come.
Shut up.
Windows don't close and the house goes down. Dennis Tommy's mom.
I've never heard of this tune.
You've heard the Bones song.
Yeah, you've heard it. He's just not singing it right.
That's how the song goes. How does it go?
I think you're combining two different songs.
I'm just making up Bones words. Yeah. But all right, let's take a break.
All right.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine, in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
There are some things you don't factor in when thinking about committing a crime.
Okay.
For example, what may have gotten these people caught would be easy to fall victim to. Mm. Because if you're just taking something,
right,
you're living a fantasy situation. You can have whatever you want and however much of it you would like to take. That is, as long as you don't run out of time.
All right.
You're hanging out in the Breaker, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, Sunday night, the city of Rochester, Bay and First Street.
Okay.
The Rochester Police Department got a call around 9:15 for reports of a break-in at a liquor store.
Ooh.
When they got there, they say they found a broken window along with the suspects.
Right, they were still there?
So they say one was standing nearby the entrance. Worst lookout ever.
Okay. Okay.
One was inside the liquor store. The third, also inside the liquor store, needed to be rescued with a ladder because they were hiding from the cops in a crawl space.
They got stuck?
Yes, they did. When it was all said and done, police arrested a 58-year-old,
God damn,
39-year-old, and 34-year-old and charged them all with third-degree burglary and petty larceny.
Okay.
They all have court dates coming up. You have a furrowed brow.
Yeah.
So they weren't grabbing the cash, they were grabbing the booze?
It kind of seems like they were grabbing the booze, because if they were grabbing the cash, they would have been
in
and out.
That's what I'm thinking. Quick. You don't need a three-man job for that.
You got it. It kind of sounds like they were trying to grab...
Yeah, spirits.
Grabbing the good stuff, I guess.
Okay, well,
specific things, I don't know.
Okay, that corner ain't got the good stuff.
Well, every liquor store has a high-end section.
Yeah, this has got to be very small. Bro,
I don't know.
Bay and First?
Listen, they spent enough time in there, though, to get caught, which makes me feel like they were looking for something. Like, it wasn't small enough for
them. Grab all the TJ Swan and early mornings you can get and some night train.
Are you being a liquor store snob?
I have shopped at busted-ass liquor store.
Samesies?
Yeah. And they don't. The high end is like minimal.
They all have high end bottles of liquor.
Oh, they do.
Some
they
have
do.
More than others.
But you ain't making off with much of it. It ain't like you're going into Century and hitting the fancy wine.
Do you hear this man right
I
now?
Know.
Do you hear this man right now?
They could have just been looking for something that they liked. It doesn't even have to be necessarily fancy.
Okay.
All right. So Tommy, you like to think you'd be a good criminal if you went into the crime game.
Oh yeah.
Most people do.
I was a stealer.
If you turned to a life of crime, you would be super smart and you never got caught.
Crafty.
But this story illustrates one of the many issues you'd have to consider.
Mm.
The biggest one being greed.
Yes.
Because if you broke into a liquor store, you would have access to all the booze that liquor store had.
Right.
And you could take whatever you could carry. It's a dream scenario.
Try something you've always wanted to try but couldn't get your hands on.
Bingo. But that creates a problem. It's not like you can stand around and browse.
No.
Like you would be shopping, right? Like, which bottle of whiskey would I like to steal today?
And one of y'all got stuck.
In this case, you would have limited arm space to carry stuff out, so you would have to be picky. Yet, you have limited time before the cops get there, so you need to be in and out as fast as possible.
You got a hubba hubba, baby.
And that's something people may not consider or even forget about when you are walking the aisles of the place that you broke into. This would be a problem for any place you broke into if you weren't just taking cash. You can grab all the cash, carry, get the hell out of there. Right?
Yeah.
But if you break into a place with stuff you like, which this story, if the allegations are true, Tommy, leads me to believe they weren't breaking in to steal this liquor to flip it. They wanted to drink this liquor.
Which is kind of crazy, man. Like, three of y'all did this to that extent. Because, like, any time, like, the grocery store ever got, like, legitimately, like, overnight broken into, it was all pro. They knew exactly what they wanted.
Sure.
They were in and out, like you said, in minutes, and they never caught him.
Yeah.
But, like, to go browse the aisles with a shopping cart.
But, I mean, I think you're underestimating the excitement.
Yeah.
If you want that stuff.
When you have all that right at your fingertips.
But you're a 50-year-old doing this, man.
I'm not saying it's a good idea.
Because you got a liquor Jones.
I'm not saying it's a good idea, but let me put it this way.
Right.
Tommy, if you broke into a cell phone store,
you
just grab all the cell phones you can, and you screw.
Yeah.
If you broke into a high-end shoe store, they would catch you inside that store.
Oh, you got to try them on, make sure they fit.
No, but that's what I mean.
I'd have to bring
how comfortable are these?
No, I'd have to bring change of clothes to see how they look with different jeans.
Like, what's funny about this story, the funniest part, the cops even got a jump on the lookout guy.
Yeah.
Your job was to stand outside and be like,
man,
hey, they're here. It's right in the name. Yeah. Look out.
How pissed are you if you were caught because you were looking for what the lookout guy requested?
Oh,
listen, you told me to go in there, get the highest end bottle of fill in the blank liquor. I couldn't find it, and that's what was taking me so long.
Yeah, but counterpoint to that,
yeah,
the lookout guy is supposed to say, look out.
Yes.
And he didn't.
It ain't cool.
So.
Yeah, it's. I guess the difference is if you're stealing for value, you're grabbing everything you can and getting out of there. If you're stealing because it's something you want personally, that's when you're going to take too much time.
Mm-hmm. So maybe if we're going to talk about like the science of crime here, again, we're talking about these three folks, 9:15 Sunday night. They were arrested at Bay and First Street when they broke into a liquor store. Police found them at the liquor store, all three of the people, a 58-year-old, 39-year-old, and a 34-year-old. And we're talking about how hard it would be to walk away from all of the stuff you could ever want in front of you. Maybe the key to committing a good crime and getting away with it is to steal stuff you know you don't want.
Yeah, never, don't make it personal.
Yeah.
Even business.
Because even with cash, I mean, greed can get you. I mean, if you don't like what, if you open up the register and it's not enough cash, maybe you go looking for a safe, maybe you go looking for a bag, that gets you caught too.
It could.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's got to be something that you don't want, but you know has value that you can quickly flip.
I know what you're doing. Case the joint.
Well, I mean, well, how hard is it to case a tiny liquor store in the city? Maybe they
but
thought
these
they
guys
done
didn't.
Well, they could have. I mean, look, they case it enough if the allegations are true, where the guy knew where the crawl space was.
Yeah, but he didn't bring a tape measure.
You got stuck.
By the way, also be in shape.
He got up in the crawl space. That's pretty in shape.
The chubby ass got stuck.
It doesn't say stuck. It said he was hiding up there. Said
yeah,
he was hiding.
Yeah, but you know, he couldn't fit.
252 WCMF. You have pissed off liquor drinkers.
Liquor drinker?
Well, you said that these corner liquor stores don't have high-end liquor.
No, in some of them.
No, you said they do not have high-end liquor. Yeah. Let's talk to Henry. Hey, Hank, how are you, buddy?
I'm well, yourself?
Good, man. What's up?
As a former owner of a inner-city liquor store, I used to carry a huge inventory of Hennessy, Remy Martin. We didn't carry any McKellen's, but, you know, tequila nowadays is really a huge sale. They have some high-end tequilas.
So, like, let me ask you, the most expensive bottle, Henry, when you own that store, how much did it go for?
Oh, man, that was a while back. I mean, several hundred dollars.
Ah!
I used to...
Sorry, go ahead, Henry.
And you got a lot of ballers in the inner city. They would buy the Henny, Remy, or whatever. It's very popular at this time.
Thoughts?
Yes, I understand that cognac is big in the city.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure he didn't have a lot of bottles of fine wine.
Well, it doesn't have to. He's, no, you
and,
said
and
specifically
whiskers.
There was no expensive bottles of liquor.
Listen
there.
To this bitch trying
and
to back
Henry's
out here.
Trying to tell you you were wrong, and now you're like, well, there's no fine wines, though,
guys. I know yak is big in the hood.
Oh, forgot. Now you're trying to sound cool.
You bet I'm right.
Check me out. No, you sound like an old man trying to sound relevant. Hello, fellow teenagers.
They're drinking the yak. I know they're drinking the yak.
Hey, Henry, were you around when the tequila started getting, like, higher end?
No, I was not. No.
Okay. All right. Because, no, I've always said.
I got right out before COVID. And Tommy was right in the wines. I mean, those are pop wine stores, but high-end liquors.
But even like, I mean.
High-end champagne. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
Champagne.
Okay. No, but I mean, you're bringing this up as a guy who once owned a liquor store. I have found, and tell me if you think I'm wrong, Tommy
What's
and
that?
Henry, that any corner liquor store, whether it's suburban, city, wherever it is, don't really carry a large selection of high-end wines. Like, those corner liquor stores are for your tequilas and whiskeys and, you know.
It's party stuff.
Yeah, things, stuff like. Am I wrong, Henry?
No, you're right. Wines was a small percentage of the total overall sales.
There you go. So you learned something today. Business-wise, stupid.
Want to get my yak?
Henry, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, bud.
Hey, take care. There goes business-owning Henry. No, quick sidebar. We're having this conversation. I can't for the life of me figure out how tequila became such a high-end popular drink all of a sudden.
I think a lot of celebrities.
Cruises.
Oh.
People going to Mexico and partying.
Because people never went to Mexico before.
Well, I mean.
Not like they do now.
I mean, I think it is a 40, valid 50 argument.
Years ago, no.
Oh, I would argue all those tequilas that have really, like, especially the higher end ones, they've been endorsed or even created by celebrities. And I think that also helps push those
Sammy
brands.
Hagar.
Forward.
Yeah, who knew the Red Rocker was on the cutting edge?
I think that guy kicked it off.
He did. Cabo Wabo was like the first celebrity tequila, right? Anyway, going back to the... Well, I'm sorry. One more thing.
Yeah.
I find it surprising that tequila has become so popular high-end because I assumed that everybody at some point in their life got so sick off tequila they can't drink it anymore.
Maybe they're coming back around again.
How, though? Like, to this day, I got
Taco Tuesday.
I got viciously sick when I was, like, 17 on tequila. And to your point, to this day, I can't even smell tequila.
It happened to me, too.
Blech.
I was a kid.
Ah.
Little kid.
Anyway, back to the story. Again, talking about these three people, 58, 39, and 34, arrested inside a liquor store on 1st and Bay Street after police say they were breaking in. We don't know what they were going for, but we're assuming if you spent that much time and got caught in the liquor store, you were looking for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The other kind of disappointing thing in this story.
What's up?
Is, Tommy, you hear folks complaining about or being worried about teenagers committing crime across the greater Rochester area. And although the numbers are down when it comes to that crime stuff, there was a time.
There was a time.
Thank you. Where a lot of kids were getting away with multiple crimes before they got caught.
Mm.
It is a little disappointing if we are playing the generation game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That these people were allegedly busted in this way.
Yeah.
What do you, it's disappointing?
58, 39, and 34.
Yeah.
You're going to let 15, 16, and 17-year-old kids be better at crime than you are?
Yeah. Yeah, you suck.
You've been around.
Well, that makes sense.
Why?
You're a little, you move a little slower. You're not as agile.
No,
you're getting stuck up in the up in the ceiling trying to hide.
But
that's a teenager's game right there.
But here's the thing. Yeah. If greed is going to take someone over, you would think it would be more likely to take over
an immature kid.
Yes, 15, 16, 17-year-old kid. Not people in
50s.
Their 50s.
Yeah, they get a little too comfortable.
But he should be the ringleader. He should have organized this.
Thank you. You're right.
This should have been like liquor break-in training camp.
Well, but that's you bring up a good point. Like, you're training. You're not doing the crime anymore. Now you're delegating.
I guess the point I'm making is this, right? Like, I mean, good thing if these allegations are true, good thing these guys were caught, right? Punish them, fine. Mm. But, like, you're embarrassing the millennials and the Gen Xers getting caught in this way. Like, get it together. If you're going to be older and commit a crime,
be smarter.
Don't get caught because
yes.
It makes us all look bad.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm done.
You involved too many people.
No, I think three people's good for a liquor store.
He's not good.
What's how many people?
Two. Two's the max. And a caper like this, small little inner city liquor store, you don't need three guys.
More hands to carry stuff out.
Bingo.
More people to F up.
The only two people that could keep a secret is one is dead. I screwed it up. But Ben Franklin said it. Go Google it.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Good, bad, and maybe.
Okay.
Because, I mean, it's good for the Bills this guy did not lose his job yesterday.
Mm.
It might be bad for the Bills this other guy did lose his job a couple of days ago. And it may be really bad for the Bills if this man gets a job he could be gunning for.
Oh.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So we are all getting ready for this Bills-Broncos playoff game. Sunday, 1 o'clock, live right here on 96.5 WCMF. But there are some teams who are already making decisions about next year.
Yeah.
Teams that did not make the playoffs.
Got to make some changes.
So we found out on Sunday, literally right after the Patriots game, that they fired their head coach, Gerard Mayo.
Yeah, like right after the game.
Yep. Dude didn't even have time to shower.
Yeah.
And yesterday, owner of the Patriots, Robert Kraft, came out and said, it's my fault.
Oops.
Which I don't know if that's...
My fault for what?
He essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing, he wasn't ready.
Oh.
Which seems more insulting than just not saying anything.
Right.
Yeah.
I thought you were better than you were.
That's kind of what he said,
yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah, you. I mean, at that point, like, I think people know how we feel about you, so...
But you could just say nothing.
Yeah.
Like, if our boss came down here tomorrow and fired me,
yeah,
personally, right? And then I read in the paper the next day, like, yeah, Pat wasn't ready. Dick?
Yeah.
Shut up! But the other big news
in
the AFC East is a coach that did not lose his job.
Oh.
The Miami Dolphins announced yesterday that head coach Mike McDaniel, or as you like to call him.
Yes, Coach Skateboard.
That's right. Will not be fired. Are you guys surprised by that?
Well, you've been talking about it for a long time. You didn't think the guy had it.
Oh, I think he should be fired.
Yeah. He wasn't the guy.
Yeah.
Is this the first time they've missed the playoffs since he's been a coach, too?
Yes. So, Mike McDaniel, this is his third year.
Yeah.
First year, he went to the playoffs, lost to the Bills in the wild card round. Last year, had the chance to win the division, lost to the Bills on the final game of the season, got blown out by Kansas City in the wild card round. This year, missed the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So, you've had two first-round exits and a miss. And let's not forget, the Dolphins spent a fortune, went all in on their roster this year, thinking the Bills were down, and they didn't even make the playoffs.
Okay.
I also think when it gets to the point of players starting to quit on you, which I think Tyreek Hill kind of basically did there at the end of the season.
He wants out, right?
Receiver. Yeah, he says.
I always assume that that's going to put the coach on the line.
Apparently not.
because it always kind of means that they've lost the locker room.
Is there a shortage of coaches around?
Oh, no. In fact, there are a lot of
good guys.
No, there's a lot of quality coaches in this thing. So we will see two new head coaches in the AFC East. The Patriots will be hiring one, and the Jets look like they won't be keeping their stand-in head coach, Robert Albrecht, who is assigned after week 5.
All right.
And one of those teams could be bringing in a Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
We're Bill.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who has had massive success.
Hot commodity right now.
Yep, he took over the job in the middle of last season.
Yeah, he hasn't been there that long.
He's gotten several requests for interviews for head coaching jobs, one of them being the New York Jets.
Oh.
Kimmy, you nervous about this?
I hate that it's a distraction at this point in the season. Like, I think that the NFL should make a rule, like, if you're a current coach, you can't interview until after your season's over.
But those guys won't get hired because they want to get their coaches hired as soon as possible.
I just think it hurts the teams that are still in the running, you know, because it happens every year to all teams that have any kind of success. I just think it's unfair.
So they did implement rules, and I know this is kind of nerdy, but the NFL made it so coaches that are in the playoffs, coordinators, can only interview virtually like 3 days after their first playoff.
Okay. But so, even still, like, they know that it's coming.
And you have to prepare for those interviews because they ask you questions about the
question.
Sure.
I know, to me, this game is way over a thunk.
Man who can't call anything right in football says game is way over a thunk.
It looks like you just, to me, as long as you have Josh Allen, you got a shot.
Well, I don't know. Ken Dorsey had Josh Allen.
Who, by the way, just was fired as the offensive coordinator of the Browns after one season.
But, like, these guys are a dime a dozen. They're always around. And you can't tell me, like, did these guys make that much of a difference?
I think they fit better with certain teams, you know, and certain coaching situations. Because if coaches don't get along, we've seen that issue show up. And that means, like, that affects the team.
All right, well, let's just look at the last Bills three offensive coordinators.
Right.
You had Brian Daboll, who, by the way, is keeping his job as the head coach of the New York Giants.
He's got to have a photo of somebody.
Holy crap! But okay, he did great with Josh. Yeah. Brought him to the point he was at.
But Josh is Josh,
okay,
man.
He leaves. Kimmy brought it up. Ken Dorsey takes over that job. Pukes all over himself in a year and a half. Did not look good. The second Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator they have now, took over, the offense looked completely different.
And I think people are waiting for the slump, like, oh, this is just beginner's luck. People don't know what he's going to throw at them.
That's what I thought.
So far.
But, like, you always tell me, like, consistent. Belichick, man, he's overrated.
I think Belichick's overrated because he had the greatest quarterback, arguably, of all
but
time.
But I guess that's the point I'm making with this kid here. Like, Josh makes amazing plays out of nothing or busted plays.
Okay.
That he saves the team and that guy's ass.
Sure.
Because he makes some unbelievable throw and the kid makes an unbelievable catch. Was that nothing to do with Joe Brady?
No, Josh obviously makes Joe Brady's life easier, but it's also become apparent that Joe Brady makes Josh's life easier. He had him for one full season and he's going to win the MVP.
Right.
So I think it matters.
Right.
You can't.
I think those guys are way overrated, bro.
You can't seriously think.
They don't even let him on the field.
Some of them are.
Stay up there and shut your mouth.
252-WCMF, 252-9263. It was announced over the last couple of days, Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady will be interviewing, has been requested to interview, for a couple of NFL teams, including the New York Jets. That makes me a little bit nervous.
The Jets, too?
Well, I know, obviously, the guy wants a head coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right, if you're in this position.
It's a tire fire.
I would, I do wonder.
Worst job in New York, after mayor.
No, and Giants head coach, maybe.
But they probably got another guy in the wings that could take his job.
In Buffalo. No, that's the other problem.
We were drained.
He was the guy in the wings to take Dorsey's job. The Bills offensively may be out of wing guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless you're going like way back in the wings. Like he's in the performer's dumper. Kimmy, in all seriousness, you know how I love this team. I cannot give you a single name offensively who the Bills are like, we're going to slice
this. But there's probably a guy out there somewhere that they'll find, you know, the college ranks. Didn't Daboll come from Alabama?
Daboll, yes, and New England.
Went back and forth, right? Yeah.
There's got to be a billion of these fat asses.
But the Bills, first of all, Ken Dorsey and Joe Brady, great shape. Second of all, the Bills haven't brought in an outside coordinator in like 6 years.
Oh.
They've just been promoting.
Yeah, so both Ken Dorsey and Joe Brady were already in the system. Yeah. And when Leslie Frazier resigned, Bobby Babich, who was the linebacker's coach, took over as defensive coordinator. So they like promoting from
him.
That could be a problem.
So we're tapped out.
Do you think the Jets, though, are going to have a tough time finding somebody to jump in there, especially not knowing what Aaron Rodgers' plan is? I mean, there's so many things up in the air for that team right now. I would think that's going to scare some people off.
So it's an interesting decision, right? Because you're right, Kimmy. On one hand,
you never get it's a rare opportunity, but I don't know if I want to set myself up for failure either.
You're right, but you never know how often you're going to have the opportunity to get a head coaching job, because Joe Brady had the best season of his coordinating career. He had been a coordinator in Carolina before, was fired.
Yeah.
Okay. So you could say, no, I don't like any of these jobs right now. I'm going to wait another year. But let's say, hypothetically, the Bills offense looks like crap next year.
Yeah,
all of a sudden,
stock goes down.
And he never has a chance to be a head coach in the NFL ever again. So I guess the decision is, how much faith do you have in yourself to run it back again?
Well, if you're that dude, you take the job, because even if you flunk out, you're going to get another gig somewhere. You'll be doing something. You're going to stay
a coordinator
in football.
You can go back to the
You'll bounce around. You'll still be making fat bets.
Okay, no.
These are all six-figure dudes.
Yeah, okay,
but that whole, like, having a franchise and failing, those guys are driven by success. They're very driven people who, I'm sure, like, their job is their life.
But think of the coaches.
I don't know what that
college does
to you mentally when you're embarrassed.
Ooh, good call.
On that level.
But I don't think it affects them at all. I mean, didn't Buchholz go with the Jets, flunk out, and then he goes to Notre Dame, wins a national championship, and now he's like...
Well, that helps when you win a national championship.
But that guy got that job after he bombed out with the Jets.
It doesn't always work that
way
for guys, though.
I just think he'll always be employed.
Okay, so what you're describing used to happen, and tell me if I'm wrong, if you give me an example, it's very rare in the NFL now that you see guys that failed get another chance. Because there's so many...
Like they're unemployed?
Yes, like there's so many... Well, I mean, they'll find jobs as coordinators and stuff, but...
That's
like
what I'm saying, but you'll be working.
But the difference between what you get paid as a coordinator and what you get paid as a head coach, huge!
But if you go to get the head... You're going to get a payday. So save your money.
But
are they driven? I mean, obviously the payday helps, but I think they're also just... want to win.
Go.
I mean, I think that's what they're the most driven by in most cases.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, like, losing Joe Brady would really suck, the Bills offensive coordinator. It would suck even harder to lose him to the Jets, a team in the AFC East, only because he would be walking out with all the state secrets, and you'd have to find someone new on that job and at least a little bit change how you operate to prevent a guy who's playing you twice a year from having some kind of advantage, right? It's not like, you know, if he went and took a job with the Saints, you play him once every 8 years, you change things that week. He would know everything about how you operate your franchise. And that's a lot to ask.
Okay.
It's a lot to ask, Tommy.
All right.
But... we have time. Let's worry about the Broncos. We're on to Denver.
Okay.
Sunday, 1 o'clock live here on CMF.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.